I'm talking with regular guest Dr. Ken Sherb about a new book by one of his former professors. Which one, Ken?
The late Dr. Kurt Marquardt, and the book is The Saving Truth, Doctrine for Lay People.
You edited this book.
Yeah, the unpublished manuscript was among Marquardt's papers, and it is vintage Marquardt, lively, engaging, centering in the Christ who saves, with an apologetics chapter at the end.
You can find out more about Saving Truth, Doctrine for Lay People at lutheracademy.com.
Seven people can settle the policy of the whole country, and the rest of the country has to pass a constitutional amendment to overturn it? At that moment, as Lincoln said, the people have ceased to be their own rulers.
If it's just your political position, which, you know, normally a political position is just an expediency towards some common end, but when your political beliefs become your religion, they become the end.
The furniture itself in the room makes a confession, and what it confesses is, this is entertainment time. This is not an encounter with the All Holy One.
I'm a harpist in Arkansas, and I love Issues, Etc.
Why is the land, that promised land, it's become almost a metaphor of itself? Why is the promised land in the Old Testament so very important to Old Testament theology, so very important to the Old Testament people of God, the children of Israel, so very important to God himself? And what is its corollary? What is its equivalent, its fulfillment in the New Testament? Greetings and welcome to Issues, Etc. on this Wednesday afternoon, November the 23rd. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. It's our series, Christ in the Old Testament. Today, we're going to be looking at Deuteronomy 8, the first 10 verses. Remember the Lord your God and the promise to bring his people into that land, a land that he had promised all the way back to Abraham. Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer will be our guest. After that, we're going to be remembering one of the earliest church fathers, Clement of Rome, remembered on this day, first century bishop. Dr. Joel Olowski of Concordia Seminary in St. Louis will be our guest. Then in the second hour, we're going to talk with Pastor Peter Bender about the Lord's Prayer, that petition, give us this day our daily bread. Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer is a regular guest. He joins us for Christ in the Old Testament. We're remembering the Lord our God in Deuteronomy chapter 8. He's pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Los Alamos, New Mexico, and host of a weekly radio talk show called Redeemer Theological Academy. Brian, welcome back.
It's great to be here, Todd.
We're going to be talking about this promised land that God had promised all the way back to Abraham. But why is that land so important in the Old Testament?
Well, primarily, the promise is important because of the promise of the incarnation. So when you have this language of the land, this is going to be the land, a physical, visible, tangible place where the Christ will be born. Born in Bethlehem, the house of bread, and he will be crucified in Jerusalem. And this is the place where the Christ will dwell in the midst of his people. And you will see that will go forward after the crucifixion, the resurrection, and the ascension into all eternity, that this is the kingdom of God, that this land, this visible, physical place is tied to the promise of God. Now, as a promise, it is received by faith. And when we look at these passages in the Old Testament, in like the book of Deuteronomy, when Moses is preaching and teaching the people of God, we need to understand that these are people who are already justified through faith alone. These are ones who are looking to the promise of God that is fulfilled in Christ. And now they are living by faith. And they continue to live in this life, in this fallen creation, in the old creation, and they are anticipating the new creation. And all of this new creation is the fulfillment of the promises ever since Adam to Noah to Abraham to David throughout all the prophets, so that we have this promise through the ages that there is new life. And understand, when the Israelites are heading toward the promised land, they are leaving behind the old way of captivity and slavery in Egypt under Pharaoh. And that is always a picture for us of the captivity of the devil, the deception of the devil in this fallen world that keeps people in darkness apart from God's word, where you cannot hear God's word, where you cannot see God's word. So when the Israelites are leaving Egypt and they are heading toward the promised land, they are believing, trusting in the promises of God, that God is full of grace and mercy, that God is mercy and grace, and he continues to bestow his grace and mercy, that he's the one who will provide for them in the midst of even their own complaining and grumbling and doubt and disbelief, and he's the one who continues to want to be in their midst. This is his doing. This is by grace alone, and the promise is given to the people that they would continue to live by faith alone, that God will be in their midst, doing these things for their benefit.
Now, before we get into the text, one danger that we need to acknowledge here, because this text of Deuteronomy 8 is often read for the church celebration of the American holiday of Thanksgiving, where the church will still observe its own Thanksgiving service, as many do, to draw an equivalence between the land that is promised by, through Abraham to all of God's people and fulfilled in this way, with the United States of America. Speak briefly to that, if you would.
Yeah, that was the historical, kind of almost a natural development when you had these different Protestant sects that were fleeing from Europe over to America for the freedom of religion, and they just kind of almost naturally saw themselves as the new Israel. Of course, when the Roman Catholics come over here, they do the same thing. They see the Roman Catholic Church as the new Israel that's now spread to this new land. Or even to the most extreme, you'll have the Mormons who will take that area of Utah eventually, and that becomes the new Israel. So this is a constant misapplication and misunderstanding of this promised land, that here in the United States, this is not the promised land that we have all been waiting for. Instead, that promised land is pointing toward the results and the benefits of the incarnation, and that is going to be the restoration of all things, where we will have a new heavens and a new earth. So that language of the land is this renewed land, the renewed creation that God will give to us, and he's beginning to give to us now. We're beginning to see it, but it will not be fully made manifest until that last day, when there will be no sin, no hunger, no thirst, and of course, no death.
All right, let's look at Deuteronomy 8, beginning there at the first verse, going through the 10th verse. And I noticed that it says, well, this is Moses speaking on behalf of God, the whole commandment that I command you today, you shall be careful to do, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land that the Lord swore to your fathers. That reference to the commandment as a singular thing, as one thing. He's given in the course of Deuteronomy and will continue in the course of the rest of the chapters. He's given lots of individual commands. Why does he refer to it as the whole commandment?
Well, when you're talking about the whole, this is all of what God himself has commanded. And we're making a clear distinction between a man-made opinion. So this is not just what Moses thinks is good, but this is the command that comes from God himself. Moses being that mouthpiece, the instrument through which the commandment is given to the people. So this is all the whole commandment, all that God himself has given Moses to speak to the people. This is what the people are to do. And notice, this is what they're to do. It's not just a suggestion like, hey, it would be a nice thing if you guys might possibly consider doing this. Instead, what God is teaching them is, you are my people. You are my treasured possession. And as my people, this is how you are to be in this whole new creation, this restoration. You once were slaves, you had an old way of life, but now you have a new way of life. And in this new way of life, this is how you are to do things. You're going to want to think that maybe if I do this, it would be pleasing to God, or if I refrain from that, it would be pleasing to God. But that's not how this works. That would be your own opinion. Instead, God makes it very clear that this is what is his will that you would hear his word, that you would believe what he says, and that you would begin to do the things that his people do. Ultimately, that is all summed up in loving your neighbor as yourself. But here we have that promise. It's all tied to the promise that God wants to be their God. That's what God desires to do. And God is going to be in their midst. And as they are in the midst with God there amongst them, they continue to live by faith, continue to hear his voice, continue to rejoice in all the things that he gives, and continue to respond in thanksgiving.
He goes on to say, "And you shall remember the whole way that the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness, that you might be, that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your hearts, whether you would keep his commandments or not." Now, there are many in kind of the Lutheran camp who would probably bristle a little bit at that, that God would, the purpose of the entire wandering of the wilderness was to test them to see if they would obey. How would you respond to that?
Well, first of all, you note that language of remember. So you are to recall, you are to bring to mind all that God has spoken. And that's the key about the word. Man does not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So you are to live by faith, trusting in the promises of God that he gives to you. You are beginning to do the things that God gives you to do. Again, we are talking about those who are already justified by faith. These are ones who have already been delivered out of Egypt and slavery, and they're beginning to walk in a new way of life. Now, they are to remember this. They're to remember the way that the Lord has led them. And when you recall what God has done, you look back at the past and you say, God made promises, and he fulfilled the promises in the past. Thus, God will continue to give us his promises, and he will fulfill those promises in the future. This is that living by faith, walking in the Spirit. Now, when we do this, there's the language of the testing, the language of humbling. Now, the language of both testing and humbling are how you grow. The language of humbling, of course, is that you don't become prideful and arrogant in your own heart, that you don't become haughty and think that you are the one who has gained all of these great, wonderful gifts that come from God, that you think that it's because you are so special that God has looked down and said, wow, what a wonderful person. But instead, you humble yourself, recognizing your own sin, that God is trying to remove the sin out of your own heart so that your heart is not falling into temptation, into unbelief, into despair, that God is going to use this as a time to humble you and to test you. Now, testing, of course, is the exercising of faith. It's not that God wants to destroy you, that God wants to put an end to you and remove your faith. Instead, it's God wants you to strengthen your faith. These are all opportunities when you see things in this earthly realm, in the experience, and you learn to trust in God. You are putting to death the sin that's within you and learning to continue to trust in his promises. Now, you are walking and you are learning to keep his commandments. And so in a passage like this, we learn exactly how one can keep the commandments of God. It's by God's grace alone, and it's through faith in these promises that you continue to hear God's word, you continue to give thanks, you continue to rejoice, you continue to focus on God and what he does, and you confess your sin. This is the humbling, where you have failed, where you have misbelief, where you have you no longer trust correctly, but you're now weakened in your own human condition. But you look to God as the one who will strengthen you, the one who will lift you up, the one who will continue to provide for you, even in the midst of complaining, grumbling, doubt, and disbelief. So this is the people of God who are growing in faith, and as they grow in faith, they are becoming more and more like Christ, who is the image of God, who is the perfect man. And as the people continue in this life and they continue to exercise, they continue to grow in this faith and in this person of Christ.
Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer is our guest. It's our series, Christ in the Old Testament, on this Wednesday afternoon, November the 23rd. We're looking at the reading for Thanksgiving Day, the Old Testament reading, Deuteronomy 8, the first 10 verses, Remember the Lord your God. Pastor Ketchelmeyer is host of a weekly radio talk show called Redeemer Theological Academy. You'll find a link to that at our website, issuesetc.org. We'll be right back.
the church's music from the second century.
Shepherd of tender youth, guiding in love and truth.
The sixth century. The 12th century.
O come, O come, Emmanuel.
The 16th century.
Lord, hear us, send us in your word.
The 21st century. The best of the church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Your daily Lutheran Bible class. You're listening to Issues, etc.
When pastors talk about us, they call us ad crucem. When laity mention us, they speak of ad crucem. When non-Lutherans address us, they say ADC Rucam. But no matter how you say it, Ad Crucem is the place to go for greeting cards, artwork, jewelry, ornaments, housewares, church certificates, church banners, and all your gift-buying needs. Visit adcrucem.com, confessing the faith through art and word. ADCRUCEM.com.
Are you thankful for the worldwide outreach of Issues, etc.? Please consider making a special Thanksgiving gift. You can make a secure online donation at issuesetc.org. You can also contribute by check. Make your check payable to Issues, etc., and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. With 6 weeks left in 2016, we're approximately $120,000 short of expenses. Thanks for keeping us in mind at the end of the year. Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's Christ in the Old Testament. We're looking at Deuteronomy chapter 8, the first 10 verses. Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer is our guest, pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Los Alamos, New Mexico, and host of a weekly radio talk show called Redeemer Theological Academy. Brian, you have written in the recent Issues, Etc. journal our Wittenberg Trail feature. What can you tell us about your portrayal there of your spiritual journey?
Yeah, well, I was obviously, this has been a long time. This wasn't just a week-old journey, but it's a lifelong journey. And the journey, of course, begins in the waters of Holy Baptism. I was baptized in the Roman Catholic Church. I began to grow up in the church, but I was kind of behind the curveball when I was growing up in the faith. I wasn't really at the head of the class. It wasn't until later on in life when I went to the University of New Mexico where I began to think about these things in a much more spiritual, contemplative way, wondering who God is and what God has done. And it was at that point I changed my degree from pre-architecture to religious studies, and I began to have this desire, this hunger to learn God's Word and to know more. I ended up marrying my wife, who was Baptist. We continued to study, but it was those words about the sacrament of the altar, taking those words of Jesus, this is my body, and saying yes and amen. So learning to hear the Word of God and believe it, trust it. Trust it as it is and trying not to manipulate it or change it to my own desires, but instead let the Word change my own mind.
Folks, you can read all about Pastor Ketchelmeyer's spiritual journey, circuitous as it is, in the latest Issues, Etc. journal in the Wittenberg Trail feature, and you can subscribe to the latest online Issues, Etc. journal by going to our website, issuesetc.org. Click the red button in the right-hand column, enter your email address, and we will send you absolutely free the latest online Issues, Etc. journal. You'll read there also an essay I've written, first part of an essay on myths regarding the gospel called Better Than Good, Failed Attempts to Improve on the Gospel. Issuesetc.org and subscribe to the free Issues, Etc. online journal. Pastor Ketchelmeyer, this verse here finds its way into the New Testament in a very peculiar way. The verse here from Deuteronomy 8 is, "And he humbled you and let you hunger and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord." Where do we find that in the New Testament?
Well, two places in particular that we find this, and of course both of them point directly to Christ. First of all, when we talk about the manna that comes from heaven, that this manna that's a gift from God that is received by the people of God, Jesus will address this in John chapter 6, in which the people bring it up and they're looking for a sign when Jesus already multiplies the loaves and the fish and feeds the multitude. And they say, hey, Jesus, by the way, you know, our fathers, they had manna in the wilderness. Can you top that? Can you do something like that? And Jesus uses this as a teachable moment. It says, hey, truly, truly, it's not Moses who gave you that bread from heaven, but it's my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. And who's the true bread from heaven? Well, it's none other than the Son. Jesus himself says, I am the bread of life, and whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. Now, here we have a picture of the manna, this heavenly bread of the incarnation. This is the language of the mystery of the incarnation, that he comes from heaven to us on earth to restore us, to renew us, to give us life, to sustain us. So this is the language that's used here in Deuteronomy 8, that he humbled you, that you would understand that it's not by your own efforts, it's not by your own works. And this is the way that the Lord will teach the people his grace. He will teach them how to live by faith. In fact, in the previous chapter, when he told them to go into the land and to take it from these other people, because he's given it to them, and he says, now if you say in your heart, hey, these nations are way too big, they're too great, I can't do this by myself, well, this is exactly what the Lord is trying to teach them. He's trying to instruct them that man does not live on his own efforts. It's not by your works that you're going to accomplish these great things. That God himself is the one who gives these gifts. That he's the one who's addressing both their own trust in these promises, which then would lead to presumption of, well, I can do it because I'm God's favorite, or even about the mistrust and despair and the weakness that I can't do it. I'm not capable of doing it. This is that humbling to realize that this comes from God, that God is the one who is acting, the one who is bringing forth life physically and spiritually. So later on in Matthew's gospel, for instance, as we're beginning Matthew's gospel in the next year, you see in chapter 4 the temptation of Jesus, so that Jesus himself is Israel reduced down to one. So not only is Jesus the true bread from heaven, but also Jesus is the true Israel, the one who does not fail when he is tested, the one who continues in faith unto death, even death on the cross. That this is the one who teaches us, not only is he the Word of God for us to give us life, but he's the Word of God for us who defeats the devil and overcomes the temptation, so that when the devil tries to tempt Jesus, when he's in the wilderness and he is there for 40 days fasting and 40 nights and he was hungry, that's when the tempter comes to him to say, hey, if you really are the Son of God, then you command these stones to become loaves of bread. But that's where Jesus will respond and says, it is written. Going back to this passage here in Deuteronomy 8, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. So in both ways, we see Jesus, not only as the true bread from heaven that comes to give us life, that we would not hunger, that we would not die, but also Jesus is the only one who can completely fulfill this test and not fail, the one who is the perfect Son of God.
In verse 4, your clothing did not wear out on you, and your foot did not swell these 40 years. Now, he's talking there about how he has sustained them for an entire generation. Are these literal words? Did God actually keep their clothing from wearing out, that sustained them in this time that they spent waiting to enter the promised land?
Yes. Most assuredly, when we take God's word, we take it at face value. And God gives us this word in assurance that there's a promise here. Now, notice again that God is speaking to those who already are justified through faith alone. These ones who have heard the promise and now who are beginning to walk as those who serve God. And how do they serve God? Well, they listen to his voice. They continue to begin to do what is his will. And here you have a promise of grace that is given to the believers. That this promise that your clothing, it's not going to wear out. Why? Because I'm your God. Your food, it's not going to disappear. Why? Because I am your God. Again, God is the one who is providing for them. This is the kind of God that they have. This is their God, and if they have this God, the true God, the one who provides for them, they need not follow after any false God. Now remember, Moses is giving this sermon before they go into the promised land, and he's preparing them for the temptations to come, so that they would pray, lead us not into temptations, but deliver us from the evil one. Now the evil one's the one who wants them to fail. The evil one, of course, being the devil. The devil is the one who uses these same events not to exercise faith, but to try to destroy and eradicate faith, that the devil wants them to fall into despair and doubt. But instead, it's the Lord who's providing for them in a miraculous way. This is one of these events where you remember and you recall and you look back at what God has done. Your clothing did not wear out on your foot, and it did not swell up for 40 days. That you had food. You had the manna from heaven, even when you were hungry. It's only at these times of being humble, when that unfaithful heart is tempted to believe in these things of this life, to cling to fallen creation, that God is working here to remove this idol of the belly, that we would look to him for our greatest good. Now, ultimately, this will paint a picture for us of the resurrection of the body, so that God is the one who provides them food while they are in this process of going from point A to B, from slavery into the promised land, that God is the one who provides them the clothing. Now, of course, the clothing, you're going to have those who are wearing clothing that are made from a cotton, but you also have clothing that's made from animal skins. So these animal skins will not wear out, which ultimately will point towards the picture of the resurrection of the body. That in the end, on the last day, even though we die, if we believe in Jesus, yet we shall live, and we will continue on to eternity. That we will continue, for this picture here, the clothing will not wear out, and the food will not wear out. There will be no sin, there will be no hunger, there will be no thirst, and of course there will be no death, because God will continue to provide for us from this point into eternity.
Now, when he urges them to look back on this, what I wonder is, and I think what we often mistakenly kind of infer from this, is that those 40 years for this generation waiting to enter the promised land was mere survival, that they were barely scratching by. But that's not the picture that God's portraying here. He bountifully provided for them during those 40 years, as he will bountifully provide for them when he fulfills the promise in the promised land. Talk about that.
Yeah, so again, in the land of promise, and that picture is that it's going to be a land that's flowing with milk and honey, that you're going to have pomegranates, you're going to have a vineyard that you never planted, and it's going to produce fine wine. You're going to have houses that you never built. You're going to have rain, and you're going to have crops. Everything will be abundant. Now, this will be the same language where Jesus will pick up on this in John's Gospel and say, I came to give you life, and to give you life abundantly. That this is going to be the life that's going to be from now and into eternity. It's not just a barely scrapping by kind of a promise that you have in the promised land. Now, on the flip side, though, when you have the promise that's of grace that is given to the believers, at the same time, you will have a threat of wrath for the unbelievers. That if you refuse to listen to my voice, God says, and resist the work of the Holy Spirit, well, then instead of all of these rich blessings that will continue to be poured out upon you, instead you will have all of these curses that will come upon you, that you will be cursed. You will not have the fruit of the vine. You will not have the field full of harvest. You will not have rain from the sky. There will be a drought. There will be famine. There will be sickness. There will be plagues. And of course, there will be those foreigners, those pagans who will come and physically hurt, harm, and murder, kill you. And these are all the threats at the same time of wrath for the unbeliever. But for the believer, you have this abundance of the promise. So it's not just you'll have some milk, you have a land that's flowing with milk. It's not like you're going to have just a little portion of honey, but you're going to have a land that is just filled with honey. But in the time of the wilderness, this is the time where they continue to go, continue to walk, and they live by faith, not by sight, because they don't see this abundance yet. What they see is they're walking around is they have just enough for today. They do not lack. And that's the language of Psalm 23, that the Lord is my shepherd and I shall not lack. He's the one who will provide for me. He's the one who will make a table for me in the wilderness in the midst of my enemies. That he's the one who will lead me to the green pastures and to the still waters. That's where the promise is, that you trust in God as you are struggling, you are afflicted, all these pains and troubles are happening to you right now, but you're looking for that promised land, that hope that God is instilling you in the resurrection of the body, that in that time there will be ultimately no hunger, no thirst, and of course, like we said, no sin, no death, and no devil who continues to try to destroy your faith.
Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer is our guest. It's our series, Christ in the Old Testament, on this Wednesday, the 23rd of November. We're talking about Deuteronomy chapter 8, the Old Testament reading for Thanksgiving Day. Another 10 minutes with him on the other side of the break, and then we'll be talking about late first century Bishop Clement of Rome, who is remembered on the 23rd of November, one of the earliest church fathers we know about. And in the second hour of the program, we'll be looking at the words of Christ in the Lord's Prayer with Pastor Peter Bender. Give us this day our daily bread. We'll be right back. Does the gospel free you to do what you want? I've written an article in the latest issues, etc. journal titled Better Than Good, Failed Attempts to Improve on the Gospel. You can read it by subscribing to the online Issues, etc. journal. Just click the red subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. You can also read Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer's spiritual journey from Roman Catholicism and American Evangelicalism to Confessional Lutheranism. The free online Issues Etc. journal.
The 500th anniversary of the Reformation approaches. A good time to ask, who are we as Confessional Lutherans? What's our heritage? The Confessional Lutherans for Christ Commission has produced the Layman's Guide to Theological History. Go to the CLCC.org and see which of these presentations and books would be most helpful to you and your fellow parishioners. And consider becoming a member with us as the CLCC seeks to help more people know what it means to be a confessional Lutheran. The CLCC.org.
Have you been too busy to get your associate's, bachelor's, or master's degree? Concordia University, Wisconsin offers 50 online educational options. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Click the Concordia University online logo and enter the program code ISSUES to waive your application fee. Concordia University, Wisconsin is here to strengthen and support the church. Lifelong Lutheran Learning. issuesetc.org and click Concordia University, Wisconsin online.
The saints at Gethsemane Evangelical Lutheran Church in downtown Marion, Ohio, invite you to join us as we receive Christ's gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation, which He won for us in His perfect life, death, and resurrection. Sunday school for all ages begins at 9:15 a.m. with a divine service following at 10:30. Visit our website, Gethsemane-LCMS.org, or find us on Facebook to learn more about our confessional, historical, and liturgical congregation.
Theology for Blue Collar, White Collar, and Clerical Collar. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod celebrates and affirms life from the time of conception until natural death, and every time in between. For this reason, LCMS Life Ministry is a program singularly devoted to upholding the sanctity of human life, both in our church body and the culture at large. Life Ministry provides educational materials, hosts conferences, and works closely with allies such as Lutherans for Life. For more information, visit lcms.org/life and follow LCMS Life Ministry on Facebook.
Christians young and old are increasingly pressured to change their beliefs. That's why St. Jude said we need to contend for the faith once for all delivered to the saints. At the San Antonio Worldview Conference, Confessional Lutherans Jonathan Fisk, Jay Weber, Ryan McPherson, and Craig Parton will unmask the false, direct us to Christ and His Word, and defend the faith. The San Antonio Worldview Conference, Saturday, February the 11th, San Antonio, Texas. Visit worldviewsa.org. worldviewsa.org. Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's our series, Christ in the Old Testament. We're in Deuteronomy chapter 8. Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer is our guest. By way of kind of wrapping these things together here, Brian, what I note is a twofold statement by God being made in these 10 verses. The first one is, everything that you have experienced in the last 40 years, I have provided and given to you freely from my grace. You didn't work for any of it, from the manna to the clothing that didn't wear out to all those things. And everything I'm about to give you by way of promise in this promised land, and it's going to be so super abundant you won't be able to even really be able to measure it. It's going to be overflowing, as he says there. None of it you have worked for. None of it you have earned. I'm giving it to you freely as a gift of my grace. Talk about that. You didn't work for it. This is not a land you're purchasing. You're not buying it. You're not renting it. It's yours, and I'm giving it to you.
Well, this is the temptation that we will face in this life. In this fallen world, we will be tempted to think that we have accomplished these things. That's always the problem that you run into when you try to misunderstand what it means that all of this is given as a gift. It is freely from God. And then you begin to boast and look at what I have done. You start to say, I am favored by God because I am blessed and because I am rich and prosperous. And pretty soon you forget God. And this is that language of the abundance. When you get to the promised land, it's just going to be poured on you. And the promises are just going to keep coming. And you're going to continue to listen to my word, and the promises will keep multiplying. But then God goes on to say in the same chapter, however, take care, lest you forget that the Lord your God is the one who gave these to you, that you would think that it's I who've done this, you know, that you would say in your own heart, it's by my power, it's by my might that I have gotten this great wealth and all this abundance. And there's always this issue of the sinful heart. We still have this in this life. We are simultaneously a sinner and justified at the same time. That we live by faith, but yet we are struggling against the sin. The sin wants to win and take dominion and reign over us. The sin wants to say that I'm the one who has accomplished all of this. Listen to me. But God is the one who has accomplished all of this, and He desires that we would listen to Him. And therefore, the Lord will tell them before it's ever happened, remember what I have done in the past. I have given you what you have needed in the past, you have not lacked, and in the future I will give you more than you can ever possibly imagine. But do not fall into temptation, thinking that you have achieved this by your own merit, by your own power or your own strength. And that's that language of always staying humbled, being kept in a state in which we are repentant sinners, always coming before God, saying that I am an unworthy servant, I have only been doing what you have asked me to do. So we don't try to gain any extra credit points with God and say, hey, look what I've done, or try to boast in our own heart. But instead, we're constantly beggars before God, understanding that all of these gifts comes from the Father of lights. And it's all for the sake of Jesus, that Jesus has reconciled fallen creation with the Creator. And these good gifts of creation are being given to us now, and they will be abundantly given to us in the new heavens and the new earth, beyond what we could ever possibly imagine. But in this life, we will always be tempted to reject these gifts of God as if we are the ones who have accomplished it. So that's always going to be this struggle, that we are walking and we are learning to believe, learning to trust in the promises, and learning to have new desires, new thoughts, and new ways of acting.
Then with about a minute here, Pastor Ketchelmeyer, It ends here in verse 10, and you shall eat and be full, and you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. The picture there is of God providing satisfaction and thankful hearts on the parts of those who have received these free gifts from his hand. It's not only talking about the children of Israel having entered the land, he's talking about us too, isn't he?
Yeah, and so we are the people of God, and we are sons of Abraham by faith. And as we hear what God has done to our forefathers, our spiritual forefathers in the past, and what he promised to do to our spiritual posterity into the future, we continue to rejoice, and we continue to bless the Lord. That is, speak well of the Lord. That's that response. That's that dialogue, that God blesses us, and we do this at the end of the liturgy when we say, bless we the Lord. Thanks be to God. That we respond in thanksgiving. That is the Eucharistic sacrifice, that we are thankful to God that he is the giver of everything we need in both body and in soul.
Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer is pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Los Alamos, New Mexico. He's host of a weekly radio talk show called Redeemer Theological Academy. You'll find a link to it at our website, issuesetc.org. Click listen on demand. Brian, have a blessed Thanksgiving, you and your family, and thanks for your time.
Oh, and the Lord's blessings to you too, Todd.
On the other side of the break, Dr. Joel Olowski of Concordia Seminary in St. Louis joins us. We're going to be talking about one of the earliest church fathers, the Bishop of Rome, the third Bishop of Rome after the Apostles, Clement of Rome. The church remembers him today. We'll do so right after this.
I think every man, every Christian should consider, at least, the possibility of God calling him into the holy ministry.
Issues Etc. regular guest, Dr. Carl Fekencher of Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Because that's the way that God has designed for faith in Christ Jesus to be spread, for the gift of eternal life that Christ Jesus earned by his death and resurrection to be shared with people. By the washing of baptism for infants and for adults, for the instruction, the proclamation of the word that happens on a nonstop basis in God's kingdom, God uses people, he uses men to be those proclaimers, to be those men who share the sacraments.
If you've ever considered becoming a pastor, contact Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Their phone number, 1-800-481-2155, 1-800-481-2155, or visit ctsfw.edu.
We're supported by listeners like you. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Are you a homeschool parent looking for help teaching certain subjects? Or do you want your student to study the history, languages, and literature of Western civilization? Memoria Press Online Academy has live online classes with master teachers to help you. Their teachers have years of experience teaching, delighting, and moving students literally from all around the world. Your homeschool year doesn't have to be difficult. Visit MemoriaPressAcademy.com or call 877-745-8866.
You'll find children's Christmas books, Reformation 500 gifts, devotional resources, and more in Concordia Publishing House's Christmas catalog. They'll send it to you for free. Call 1-800-325-3040 or view it online at issuesetc.org. Place an order for $79 or more, and CPH will send you three Christmas ornaments for free. Concordia Publishing House's Christmas catalog, issuesetc.org, or 1-800-325-3040.